All right, got our preparation going for the Chiefs. This week's captain, fourth captain, will be Mitchell Schwartz. Were you guys trying to predict? You called it? All right. Huh? Nice. Make sure the league doesn't know you guys are doing this stuff. All right, so he's another good choice. Of course, when you go through our starting lineup, you know, it's we've got a lot of rookies and guys that have played a lot of football, and Mitchell's done a good job this year, and so I thought they chose wisely. But other than that, I'll take your questions.
Do you have a personal relationship with Romeo Crennel?
I've met Romeo a few times. I can't say that I know him extremely well, although I do know this. I respect him a great deal. Everybody that does know him thinks he's an outstanding human being, a great man, and he's obviously distinguished himself as an outstanding coach. So that's what I know about.
Does that respect grow considering what he's had to deal with this week and how he's trying to lead those young men?
Oh, there's no question. I think in situations like this, your character becomes revealed. And Romeo revealed that he's an outstanding leader.
Does it in some ways almost put things into any kind of a perspective for you? Because this has been, I know, a stressful season with the team getting sold and all of that. But does when you see what Romeo goes through, does it?
No, I just think that's a lot of what we do as coaches is we lead and inspire and try to kind of lead our guys through situations that are not always ideal. Let's face it. I don't know if anybody's going to finish the season undefeated. And so when there's losses involved and you're pushing and trying to build and develop, we all know there's tough days. And how do you inspire your guys to push through those tough days? And I think that's a lot of what we as coaches are responsible for.
In this game, and then, you know, he's been kind of in and out of the lineup since his whole career. You know, how have you judged him as a quarterback?
Well, I think he had an outstanding game last week. He led his team to victory, number one. He made some good throws. He's a big, physical, strong guy. As you guys know more about him than I do. I mean, you've probably asked him more questions than you've asked me. But he uses his legs, you know, so if things break down and he's got a running lane, he's willing to use his legs. And He played a good game last week.
We've talked about the improvement on your defense, improvement in your run defense. This is going to be a pretty good test this week. They seem to run the ball. That's one of the strengths of their team.
No question. They're one of the finer running teams in the league. Jamal Charles, I mentioned it already. I mean, when you hand him the football, he can score from wherever they hand it to him. And that's very dangerous. You don't get that from a lot of running backs. And then, of course, you know, they spell him with Peyton Hillis, and Peyton plays in situations. And then he, of course, had some production last week, had a touchdown. So their run game's very good. They've got a very good offensive line, and it's well coordinated, and they're getting production from it.
How do you keep a player focused, like Brady Quinn, first-round pick, and really his career has not gone like he'd like it to? How do you keep a guy like that focused?
How would you keep Brady Quinn focused?
Well, not just him. I don't want to be coached, but a player like in that situation.
A player who's expected to do well and things aren't as well. I think what happens is a lot of it comes from the individual. The ability to just go and work and prepare yourself to play. And when you get an opportunity to play, try to play as good as you can or as well as you can. And so that's where the players tend to motivate themselves. And the ones that are around for a very long time learn how to do that. And then we as coaches try to inspire that as well.
The show last night on Travel Channel debuted. I mean, they've been following you guys around quite a bit. I mean, a lot of coaches don't like that. I mean, the whole HBO thing, some coaches turn it down. How do you feel about everybody following you around like that?
Well, I thought, you know, I did get a chance to preview it and watch it. I thought it was very well done. I think what that show shows you is there's a lot of very talented, hardworking people behind the scenes that help make this thing go. And I hope that's what folks take away from the episodes that they watch. And the cameras have been around. I mentioned it before. My biggest concern when there's cameras around is, number one, it doesn't become a distraction to the process which of course I saw they were very professional and that wasn't the case. And then, of course, any kind of a leaking of competitive advantage, which I don't think is the case. But for the most part, I thought it revealed a lot of hardworking people behind the scenes that do a lot of work, and I think that's a good thing.
Cam makes the kind of play he did on that last drive, the out, and breaks back on it, or whatever. Is that kind of what you envision his role or him being?
Well, yeah, we envision him to be a playmaker in the passing game and then be able to block well enough where we can play him on all three downs. That's how we envision him, to be a starting tight end in our offense. And fortunately now, we use two tight ends and two receivers quite a bit. So you'll see him you'll see him in there a lot with Ben. We have packages where we use him alone with three receivers, and then he can go in and fill in anywhere in the tight end positions. And so he's gotten a lot of good work this year. He's shown up in terms of his production as a receiver, which is what we brought him here to do.
How much better is a blocker has he got? Is there still work he has to do there?
I think he's really developed as a blocker. It's very difficult to play the tight end position if you're a guy that's going to play on all three downs. And I think he's made very good strides in terms of his ability to block.
What are you all looking at? I don't see anybody's eyes.
Pat, there's a lot of Cleveland-Kansas City connection, a lot of people that used to be here or over there, you know, coaches,
sure,
players, et cetera, you know, aside from what they're dealing with. But they're going to be motivated to want to come in here and, you know, show what the Browns missed out on. Is that something you make your team aware of?
The Browns missed out on.
You know, you're aware of that, you know, so many people that used to be here and integral parts of this organization are now over there?
Yeah, no, I'm aware. There's every game that's played, you'll find maybe it's a small amount of people. Sometimes there's crossover. There's enough changing that goes on in the league with players and coaches where you have people that are playing against a team they once worked for. And, you know, it's players and coaches alike for the Chiefs. I think what's important as we get ready to play this football game is it's the Browns playing the Chiefs. You know, that's what's important. And there's always crossover. There's always carryover. Some of the people that are coming to play us, you know very well. And, you know, I'm sure you always want to do well against the team you used to work for. I get that. But we also have a prideful group of guys that want to win for our team and our city.
How did you think that your offensive line performed against Oakland? I think there was only one sack, but Brandon did get hit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
After you looked at it on film, how did they perform?
I thought they battled. You know, there was we did get challenged a little bit in some areas, and Brandon, I think, did a good job of standing in there and making some good throws with a little bit of heat. But again, getting sacks and giving up sacks is a coordinated effort, and Brandon does a pretty good job of getting rid of the football. And he made some quality throws in terms of people in his face. In terms of the offensive line and how they played, I thought we knew that was going to be a physical, gritty game, just like this week. The Chiefs' front seven is outstanding. And I think they battled. They did a good job.
Can that emotion that the Chiefs channeled in the beating Carolina, can that carry over in another week, or can the team come out flat after such an emotional game?
That's a better question for the Chiefs. Again, we've all read and learned about what happened there, and it's very tragic. And as you go through the year, there are events that happen within the team and outside the team that tend to polarize the team or at times tend to split them. And I think as a coach, we're aware of those situations, and we try to keep the guys focused on moving forward. And I'm sure, regardless of what's happened to this point, Romeo will have his guys ready to play.
Do you think your staff's familiarity with Hillis will give you an advantage against
him? Our familiarity? Well, he's got a very bruising style as a runner. They use him to spell Jamal Charles, He runs the same type of runs that Jamal runs within their offense, but then they also use him quite a bit on short yardage and goal line situations where the runs are a little bit more downhill. So, you know, being aware of his style is one thing, but it's very important that we watch how he's being played in their offense, and I think that's what we're focusing on.
Go ahead.
Can you put into words how turbulent his career was here last year?
I'm going to talk about Peyton Hillis, the 2012 version. I'd be happy to answer any questions there. No. I won't put it into words.
Do you think Josh Gordon's beginning to understand how good he can be?
I think so. I think, you know, as you make more and more plays, you develop a confidence that you can do it over and over again. I think what's important is he still remembers the process and what he has to go through each week. And I think he has to know that, you know, he's done some good things. But I promise you he knows that there's areas he can get better.
Monday about how you've kind of settled on Gordon and Little, and then it seems like everybody else is rotating for
sure.
What's left. Have you? Is that the easiest way to say it? Everyone's rotating for 3 and 4 at this point behind those two?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. But all the guys that are, in my mind, role players can go in any situation. But we have a really good feel now for exactly what those guys can do. And we've had some young guys emerge that can be, you know, time will tell how good they are. But at this point, they're being productive for us.
A bunch of Josh's teammates, when I talk to them about him, they just kind of shake their heads at the kid's physical tools. As a coaching staff, do you look at him the same way?
In terms of his talent, skill, and ability? Yeah.
Package.
Well, yeah, I think he's got a lot of what you're looking for in an NFL receiver. And time will tell how good he'll be, for sure.
Is Usama Young going to be able to practice this week?
He'll be out there today. Yeah, he'll be out there.
Have you seen the rise in your team over the last couple of weeks with these victories?
That's probably a better question for them. What I see is a focused preparation each week, and then I see a bunch of guys that are looking forward to playing the game and play hard front to back. That's what I see. And then we've found a way in the last 2 weeks to make enough plays and finish games with victories. And so I think you can build confidence from that, but it's very, very important that you don't forget the process because there are mistakes made in the games. And you can win a game sometimes in spite of mistakes where the margin in this league is very thin, where the next week, you can lose a game because of them. And so I think that's why you just keep going back to practicing and trying to improve. And I think our guys understand that.
What was either the defining moment or the reason you finally settled on Gordon and Little and then everybody else in defining roles? Because there was a lot of in and out early.
Well, first of all, Gordon and Little have found a way to stay healthy throughout. Number one, and we've had some other receivers behind them that, for whatever reason, have missed a few weeks. So sometimes the guys that show up to work are the ones that, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not trying to be funny there, but there's you're looking for players that, number one, are passionate. You're looking for guys that are productive, and then you're, of course, looking for guys that are durable, which means they can stay healthy and stay on the field. And those are three important characteristics. And so that helped give Josh and Greg a little bit of a leg up this year because they've been able to, at least to this point, stay on the field.
Yeah. Touched on that he played a good game. You look at him long term as a guy, not just a special teams guy you throw in here, as a better guy that could be a starter.
No, he could play scrimmage snaps as a in the secondary. And we're looking forward to seeing him to continue to improve, for sure.
That touchdown over screen, did Gibson make a mistake on that one?
No, that's a common concept in the NFL. It's called sluggo seam. They run a slant and go on one side, and then they run a guy up the seam on the other. And we were in tight coverage, and you know, the middle safety can go one way or the other on it, and he jumped the sluggo and they hit the seam. So he could be in better position to help. But I will say this, Buster was in good coverage. The quarterback made a great throw, and the receiver made an even better catch. It was a really good play by the Raiders. And there are ways that we can be a little tighter in coverage, but that's essentially what happened there.
One last thing on Gordon. I don't know if it's in St. Louis you had a receiver comparable to him. How about in your whole career?
That's a good question. We had a receiver size-wise and skill and ability-wise in St. Louis, Denario Alexander, who now plays for the Chargers. And he had some knee issues that kind of kept him from being a really high pick, but an outstanding talent. So, yeah, I've been around guys like him. Size-wise, I've been around a lot of guys. It's hard to say.